Started. Okay. Okay, so we've, after much negotiation and consultation, so the it seems that Tuesday is a Thursday schedule, right? So we're just going to flip everything, and we're going to continue to have this year, I guess, lunch on Tuesday, but we're going to have the year first, the 10:45 year. And then 10:45 cheer, and then 12 o'clock we're going to have the lunch, right? Okay. So that way.
Is your Rosh Hashanah stuff, or it's regular?
No, I think we said Rosh Hashanah for that one, and tomorrow we'll have regular. So tomorrow will be regular. Tomorrow 1 o'clock, and then we'll have the Inyane Rosh Hashanah and lunch. No, tomorrow going to be regular shiur tomorrow, and the hashkafa will be, you know, combined with the hashkafa. That's the idea. Okay. And tomorrow I'll call the list, and we'll start getting, again, a little better. Try to get her earlier also to meet with. So we started meetings on Thursday. So hopefully we'll continue with that. Okay. So just a few quick points to finish up. As we move into Mipiach Kerem, in the Mipiach Kerem, I gave you some things to look at. Also, look at the, you know, Shaka. I told you to look at the Shaka V'Tarya and Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph on base. Again, we'll fill in the blanks, the things that we're skipping. But just, these are just the two introductory topics, and then we'll start going straight. But on Mipiach Kerem, Pi Atzmo, Rameir, and Chachamim, I told you to look at Chachamim. We're going to start with that today already, Chav Tesla and base. But in the Shaka V'Tarya on Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, also look at the Rimigash, and again pay attention to the language of the Rambam, you know, the Rambam Shita on what has to be in Beis Din, the Kfira, the Shavua, the Rambam Shita in Perek Tes of Hilchos of Shavuos. And I told you to look at the Rambam Shita and the Rambam and the Ravid in Perek Yud on whether or not Mipi Acherim Mipi Atzmo, but Shvuah Sa'edah, Shvuah Sa'pikadim require Shem B'Shvuah as opposed to Rabbein Tam, and the and Tosis in the Darim of that base, and also the Ran in the Darim of that base. We'll fill in these issues, but just to get a better, you know, a little sense already starting off. And the Rambam, of course, also in the Perik base, Halacha base, Afikos Shvuos, etc. So these are the things to begin with. To try to understand what the relationship, I guess, is between Mipi Atzmo and Mipi Acherim. Are they different mechaibim? Is it haflah based? Is it, you know, building off of the Kiyum Agada? But we'll start with that today, just a few minutes. I just want to finish up first a couple of outstanding issues. So the outstanding issues that we need to discuss are as follows. Again, we were talking about Mipi Acherim and Tviya, various issues. So let's just finish up with that first. So regarding Mipi HaToveya, just to make it clear, so there's a group that clearly thinks that the Rishonim would disagree with the Rambam. The language of the Rambam is a little bit brief. You know, it just kind of has it there. Either that means he has something else in mind, which was the idea of the Shar Mishpat, but that seems very dachuk, or his having it, you know, almost, you know, matter-of-factly, but without any kind of explanation, or without, let's say, accentuating that this is something innovative, just shows the degree to which he believes in it. Hard to know, but from a style point of view, it's just interesting to note the way the Rambam kind of inserted this, or you know, asserted it, maybe even better, you know, kind of without his usual, again, the, you know, Bein Bezchus, Bein Bechoba, which incidentally is even more, as we noted, explicit in Sefer HaMitzvos, that, you know, is a chiddush, but it's, again, presented in a typical Rambam fashion. You know, the Tviya part is almost, you know, Mimela there, again, it's an assertion, it's like a very brief, and it's a little bit jarring when you read it, which is one of the reasons why, you know, people were puzzled by it, in addition to being a chiddush, because there's no evidence that Chofetz HaGadol should require such a thing, and it's not so obvious that you project from Korban Shavuos Eidos to Chofetz HaGadol for the reasons that we discussed. But just also the language is a little bit, the absence of it in Sefer HaMitzvos, as we also noted, is something also to think about. So again, is that because the Rambam changed his mind, and there is a subtle, you know, kind of development in the Rambam, which is very possible, and we noted several small differences between the Rambam's presentation in Sefer HaMitzvos and in Yad HaChazaka, you know, with regard to this issue. The fact that the Rambam, you know, quotes the Sifra in Sefer HaMitzvos, as I say, he definitely emphasizes, you know, the Skusin Chova, Isur and Mamon part more. He omitted Lo Samod, the, you know, the Shuas Eidos or the Chofetz HaGadol part in Hilchos Rotzeach. The fact that he links Korban Shuas Eidos to Chofetz HaGadol and Sefer HaMitzvos. Again, it's hard to know, methodologically it's impossible to know, whether or not the Yad HaChazaka and Sefer HaMitzvos are mashlim, one the other, supplementing each other, complementing each other, with an E, or there's just a slight difference in emphasis. So with regard to the Tviya point, for example, what you might say is that, you know, the very fact that the Rambam, I see, on the one hand, it's ironic because the Rambam connects Korban Shavua in Sefer HaMitzvos in a way that isn't explicit in Hilchos Eidos Perek Aleph. On the other hand, the expansion to Lo Samod Al Dam Re'acha, you know, which doesn't appear in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, and on the contrary, is even omitted in its place in Hilchos Rotzeach, you know, may lead you to think that, well, if there's a Lo Samod, you know, element, so then maybe the Tviya that, you know, is less required, because Lo Samod doesn't require a Tviya. So it's just hard to know. Again, I don't think it's a problem, and on the contrary, what I would say is if the two are complementing each other, so then what the Rambam would tell you is that without a Tviya, this doesn't turn into Lo Samod Al Dam Re'acha. Just like we were saying, you know, for the Rambam and possibly for the Shiltos, and that is that without there being a Chofetz HaGadol, right, this wouldn't turn into Lo Samod. In other words, it isn't that Lo Samod Al Dam Re'acha applies to all Dinei Mamonis, which is the way that some Mefarshim say it. Oh, you see from the Sifra that, you know, while you would have thought that Lo Samod is Isur oriented, maybe even Hatzalas Nefashos oriented, you see that the Sifra and that the Rambam and other Mefarshim, the Shiltos and others, are expanding it. That may be true, and that's certainly what some of the Mefarshim derive from this. What I was saying was maybe it's something very, very specific to the, you know, Chofetz HaGadol. The Chofetz HaGadol is what allows you to expand Lo Samod, right, to non-Rotzeach type cases. And that's because Haggadah Seidus is itself such an urgent requirement, number one. We'll get back to that in just a second. And moreover, even if it wasn't urgent, the fact that it's a requirement, again, turns everything, you know, into a more, as I say, kumvaseh. You know, it's more of a commission than an omission. And maybe that's what pushes it over the top. So it's hard to know in assessing, just that's all I'm saying, the Rambam, there are discrepancies in either direction between Perek Aleph, Hilchos Eidos Halacha Aleph, and again, then the subsequent treatment in Hilchos Rotzeach and Sefer HaMitzvos. It's hard to say whether it's one shita, but, you know, you have a little more here and you have a little more there, and, you know, when you put it together, you have a big picture, or whether or not there's a subtle difference. What I do think is true, no matter what, is that there's a common, like, you know, perspective in the Rambam, in Yad HaChazaka and in Sefer. This I can't prove, this is just instinctive. And that is that even if there are, of course, if it's one shita and they complement each other, then that's certainly the truth. Even if there are some slight differences regarding Tviya, regarding Lo Samod, and so on, it's because the Rambam, you know, who's a fertile, creative, you know, thinker, and, you know, he's thinking about these questions, you know, across the decades. So basically his, you know, the factors and the perspective, you know, is a common one, and he's just, you know, playing with, charting, you know, where one thing ends and the other thing, you know, begins. Now, it's clearly that he holds that Chovas Haggadah is something which is just not a, you know, a nicety or even just a regular mitzvah, but something that is more urgent, as he says in Sefer HaMitzvos. And it's clear also that it's hard to know, you know, where to, since it is a menias Haggadah, even though you're calling it Kvish HaSedus and you're connecting it to the Siyas Avon and to Lo Yagid. So the question is, how far are you going to go with it? And, you know, are you going to use other categories in the Torah, you know, to augment this, like Lo Samod? Or you don't even need that, but then you need something like, you know, Tviya, Mitzad HaBaldabar, you know, to kind of justify that expansion. So what I'm really trying to say in this part, I'm just totally speculating, but it's the instinctive speculation, you could take it or leave it, is that, you know, if the Rambam is in fact presenting some actual differences in his two presentations of this topic, it's not two radically different presentations. It's the same basic idea, but you know, what you add and what you subtract, how you think exactly it balances out, that's something that's open to question. And that is, I think, not atypical at all in assessing changes in the Rambam from Pirushim Shnayis to Yad HaChazaka, from Sefer Mitzvos to Yad HaChazaka. I think more often than not, it's not a radical change. It betokens, I think this is true for some of the other Rishonim also, the Ramban and the Ravid, the, you know, discrepancies in their presentations in different genre, or especially different times, is usually a fine tuning, or, you know, rather than a radical. Again, this is a general statement, obviously there are exceptions, even in this regard. So I think this is a very good example of that. In the Rambam. Aaron brought to my attention, is he here? Aaron? Okay, sorry. Aaron brought to my attention that the Rambam in Mordechai also has a good line about, in which he kind of compares the chashivos of Eidos and Dayanim. You have that? In Gimel, right? I mean, with all the, you know, when he has all, in Chelek Gimel, in Mordechai, towards the end, when he has all the, you know, we'll call it Tamiya Mitzvos. So when he talks about Chovas Haggadah, you have a line? No? Okay, when you find it, you'll read it. You had it the other day, right? Okay, when you find it, let me know. Anyway, so the point is that even within the Rambam, all I'm saying is, this is a Kiddush of the Rambam. It's written in a very, you know, kind of a matter-of-fact, you know, kind of a way. It's technically missing in Sefer HaMitzvos, and that's what I was just discussing, both on a broader way about Rambams and in this specific case. There are those who deny it even within Yad HaChazaka. Within Yad HaChazaka, I think it's mostly undeniable. And then the question is, you know, where did it come from, and what are its implications? So, you know, that's where you get to the other discussions. Again, the Midrash Chinuch thinks that it came from the Pasuk, and that has nothing to do with Korban Shavuos Eidos, except that both parts, both Korban Shavuos Eidos and Haggadah Eidos, share this part of the Pasuk. So if you interpret like the Baalei Tosfos, the Pasuk, just one second, then, you know, you could say that. Midrash Chinuch is projecting that the Rambam read the Pasuk, you know, like the Baalei Tosfos. I personally think that in Sefer HaMitzvos he probably read it like the Rashba, but either way. The Kesef Mishnah assumes that he got it because he really thinks that this tight kesher between Korban Shavuos Eidos and Yad HaChazaka, which sometimes, you know, almost is like a Hekesh or Gzeres HaKasuv, as we discussed. And I was trying to explain that, you know, even if there wasn't in the Pasuk, it's a common denominator, maybe, to Korban Shavuos Eidos, and it's about Tziruf, and it's about creating a kind of a Kumbah Aseh equivalent to all of this. You would want to ask things like, Is it exactly 100% identical to me, Pia Tobeya, in Korban Shavuos Eidus, in Lo, Lo Yagid? Here, I'm not sure. I'm guessing that it probably is. For the Kesef Mishnah, it certainly would be. If what I'm saying is correct, I still think it's the common denominator. But in theory, at least, there might be a possibility that this is a logical requirement, whereas in Shavuos Eidus, where it's based on Imlo, Lo Yagid, Lamed Vav Aleph, that it's more of a formal requirement in addition. So what I'm thinking about very specifically is the question, two questions. Number one, again, the Chinuch issue, but that's not the Rambam, about Beis Din substituting for Baalei Dvarim, which I think has its own dynamic. But more important is who can be, and we'll speak about this more in the Perek, who can be Toveya on your behalf? The Pashtos of the Gemara, we'll say Balamor aside for the moment, and we'll get to it when we get to it, is that you need, we'll say it this way, a shliach does not suffice. Even though we normally say shlucho shalodom is kamoso, right? One of the exceptions to that rule, which needs to be understood, is the requirement of mipia toveya. Right? Mipia toveya requires, according to Pashtus of the Gemara, and almost all the Rishonim, with the exception of the Baal Amor, who says that's not the Maskana, requires a Mursha rather than a Shliach. La Halacha, this is tell you what it says, but we'll get to it. The Baal Amor thinks that a Mursha and a Shliach are really interchangeable. But the simple reading of the Gemara and the view of all the other Rishonim is that there are two different levels of representation. Or you can authorize somebody to act on your behalf in different ways. The truth is, our levels in shlichus, but let's just say, to keep it simple, a shliach or shlucho shonim kemoso is the more conventional way that people act on your behalf, that are agents on your behalf. And here and there, a shliach is inadequate to represent your interests, and you need somebody who is, you know, more authorized or more independent, but who has, you know, his jurisdiction and his independent jurisdiction from you, and that is a Mursha. So the simple pshat is that the Gemara seems to say that when it comes to the requirement of Mipia Toveya and Shavuos Eidos, the Gemara Lamed Gimel, that a Mursha rather than a Shliach is required. Is that true for the Rambam, who says that, you know, the Baal Dabar has to be Toveya? Is it clear that, you know, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Eidos, just like in Hilchos Shavuos, that would eliminate a Shliach? I think that's an interesting question. For the Kesef Mishnah, the answer would seemingly be Pashut, and that is that it's the same din. And for the Minchas Chinuch, who thinks that it's from the same part of the Pasuk, you know, whatever is true for one is probably true for the other. Yeah?
The Rambam seems to say explicitly that a Shliach works in Perek Tazel Shavuos Lachavav.
Well, the Rambam, yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, why there he doesn't seem to say, unless you think it goes bad. Perek Tazel is in Korban Shavuos Eidus, though. Yeah, read the Ram, he says, oh, whatever. But yeah, the people of that, the Rosh Hashanah, are very, very troubled by that. But God, yeah. Yeah. So the Nosei Kelim, you're 100% right. But the if you look at the Nosei Kelim there, they're very troubled by it. Because the Pashas, the Gemara, eliminates that idea. And they say what it means is the Shliach that works here, which is, but right, which is one of the reasons I didn't want to get into the Dio Kalashon, but you're 100% right. We'll get to it when we get to Harshon. That Rambam is in Korban Shavuos Eidus. Right. In Eidus here, it's interesting, either way, let's say the following Dio. And it's a little ironic, in Korban Shavuos Eidus, the Rambam says, Hu Atzmo O Shlucha. And then the Nos HaKelim are troubled, like, does he hold like the Baal Amor? You know, like, what's going on? What does that mean? Here, he doesn't mention anybody but himself. So I was speaking about the possibility that you might be more expansive here. The truth is, you're right that in the language of the Rambam, it might even go the other way. But either way, because, you know, here you need Atzmo, and there you say Atzmo o Shlucha, right?
So you're saying that it's possible that Shlucha would not work for Tobia, but would work for part of Shlucha?
I was really trying to suggest, logically, I think the opposite should be true. Right. But you're correctly pointing out that internally within the Rambam, there's an issue, you know, why he doesn't mention Harsha in that context where the Gemara has it. So I'm just pointing out that, I don't want to get into that, I'm aware of it, but It actually, you might argue the opposite. In other words, that he's more expansive. He technically is more expansive in Korban Shavuos Eidos, where he gives you two choices, than he is in Chovas Haggadah. I think logically, since there it says in lo yagid, and it's there where the Gemara says, what I was saying was based on the Gemara, basically. And what you're pointing out is that internally in the Rambam, you know, you might say the opposite. I think that's a good point. Okay. So that's in terms of Pia Tovei. You found it?
Yeah. So he says,
where is it? Gimel Mem?
Mem Aleph. Yeah. So the whole parrot's about like on Jim.
Yeah. All right, so just again, there's nothing controversial about what he says, but it's just interesting that he's equating Shoftim, you know, Melech, and Eidos, right? And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but certainly one could have said that Shoftim and Melech are, you know, professional, you know, leaders of the community, and they both have a lot to do also with Mishpat. Melech has a component of Mishpat too, not just according to the Drashas Haran, but according to everybody, but especially according to the Drashas Haran. And again, we spent a lot of time when we started Sanhedrin in our Hagdama talking about the fact that Shoftim are b'chol pelech u'pelech u'b'chol ir b'ir, meaning their omnipresence, not just, you know, that, you know, Lemaisa, when you need them, they're, you know, you can put them together ad hoc. That's the Ramban's famous, you know, comment in the beginning of Shoftim, right, where the Ramban says that, you know, when we say Shoftim did the B'chol Sharecha, you know, what we mean is that, you know, it's not enough, you know, to be able to put together a Bezin when you need it. You should have a standing Bezin. So again, is that because of, you know, greater efficiency to discourage alternatives, or is that because of a presence of Mishpat? That's what I was trying to argue in that particular Hakdama. So the more that is true, you know, the idea of Edim, you know, playing an outsized role seems to be true as well, in the light of the Sefer Batim that we read. So let's talk about that just for a couple of minutes also, what we mean by that. So we've already noted that in this topic, you know, there seems to be a lot of evidence that the Chovas Haggadah isn't just about the impact on the Nidon, but it is a support to the system we talk about. Again, the Piyab Bezdin, other such things. But one thing does emerge crystal clear, that is that the Lashonos and the phenomenon of the way that this particular Chiyuv is described definitely underscores the Chomer Hadavar and is treated in a way that is incommensurate, you know, with the typical simple, let's say, mitzvah saseh. And that is expressed, you know, throughout. You know, the chinuch, as we said, in the beginning and the end of this piece, clearly. The Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, where he talks about Nesiyas Avon and this being a particular Davar Gadol V'chamor, which is not typical of his treatments in Sefer Mitzvos, the Siyas Avon. Again, I made the point then that even if you want to say that the Pasuk, you know, is referring to Chiyuv Haggadah, you know, from a Parshanut point of view, it seems like it would have been easy just to say V'hu Eido Ra Yada. The Imlo Yagid B'Nasa Avono part could have been just limited to Korban Shavuos Eidos, even if you were taking the Parshanut of the Baalei Tosfos, or something very much like it. So the fact that the Rambam Udi'imei, you know, do the extension, and then the Rambam points, you know, he talks about it as being a Davar Chamor, and the Chinuch, of course, picked up from that as well. All these are very, very significant. The Shultus's Nefesh Kisechata belongs in this category as well. He's, you know, abstaining from coming to court, and that's really a Kisechata. The Tashbetz's Aseh and Lav, the Ramah's Lav, seeing this is a Lav instead of an Aseh, which is seeming more obvious. The Sefer HaBatim we discussed. Rabbeinu Bechai in his Perush Al HaTorah also has some interesting things. Number one, Behu Eid or Ra Yada, you know, that it's kind of like a, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you know, kind of a thing. Dvarim HaMasurim Lalev, basically he says, you know, Behu Eid or Ra Yada, very striking parshanut. Behu Eid or Ra Yada, says Rabbeinu Bechai, refers to the Rabbanu Shalom, like, lest you think that your Kvishas Eidos, you know, is not known to anyone but yourself. So, you know, Vahu Eid or Ra Yada. The Rabbanu Shalom is the aid. Okay, just calling the Rabbanu Shalom an aid is, I mean, we, you know, the psukim they're reading in Vayelech and, you know, and then Hazinu talk about Eidos too, the Shemayim Baaretz. But the Rabbanu Shalom is Vahu Eid or Ra Yada. That already is quite an interesting Peirush. But then it goes on to say further, Inami, Adam Yisad, that basically, you know, this is a, he basically says that Kol HaKovei Sheiduso is like, you know, undermining Gabriel's Shemayim Baretz. Now, the reason for that ends up being a little disappointing. You know, it's more like, oh, it's such a davar kal and he can't even do that. But the, but again, this idea of undermining Shalalikvo Sheiduso, I'm sorry. I have it somewhere.
Anybody have it?
And it kind of, you know, ruins it a little bit.
Yeah. Kimitoch shadam ragil lahach shil bavon kal yavolaso shiach bavon chamor.
Yeah. Okay, so I could have done without that part, but you know, he said it's important too. But you know, that doesn't, that's already a nimuk on the parshanut, but the parshanut itself, you know, puts it in very elite, you know, terms. So. All of this, the fact that, you know, this could end up being a chiyuv mamon because of the chovas hagada, assuming, again, we don't want to retry that case, but what we tried to explain was that the debate of whether or not kvisha seidus is enough to be mafsid mamon, you know, bedine mamonis, or to turn the chiyuv de shemayim into a monetary chiyuv de shemayim, as opposed to simply an Iser one, meaning not a Hilchos Deos one, but a, let's say, a Hilchos, a Chosha Mishpat one, that could either be a debate about the, you know, technical requirements of, you know, Mazik and Grumma and Gami, and nothing to do with anything that we're talking about, and a pure Bava Kamma issue, contributory damages, exclusive damages, active, passive, and so on and so forth. But we also suggested that the more we think that Chovas Haggadah is like, you know, a kumbase, not a shebaltasa, in some respects, and the more, right, we consider it to be a very core right that people have, that Eidos should show up and testify on their behalf, and an obligation that the person has, that he is like, you know, he's just, you know, trashing the system if he ignores, you know, that impacts on the Chosha Mishpat too. That's another perspective. Just like the Ramban was saying that, you know, if the Makar is Gemilas Chasadim, you know, then it can never be Garmi. Well, 3 days in the Ramban, second part of it. But if it's, you know, if it's more Mammon oriented, that has nothing to do with the, how many other factors are required. You know, how diluted is his role as opposed to others? You know, how exclusive is his role? That separate from the Garmi or Grama problem. If indeed that is, so then this urgency, this Nesius Chet, this Adam Kisachata, is taking on a very outsized status. Moreover, again, if, go back to what I said a second ago within the Rambam, if, you know, the, in the question whether Lo Samad Al Dam Riecha, you ever go beyond Hatzalah and Nefashos, or Isurim, and apply it to Mammon. So again, if you think, as some do, that this Sifra proves an expanded, you know, view, you know, you can say, like, you know, yesh adam shemamono chavval megufo yesh adam she, you know, gufo chavival of mi mamono, or pachin ketanim, you know, some people the money part is very, very important. But if this is something that is specific to Kvishas Eidus, you're really Bilosamar Damriacha because of the role of Eidus and the people's right, that Eidim should come forward. It's the civic duty. It's like, it's a personal front. It's an affront to the system, and so on. If lo samod and kvishas eidus isn't just the hechetimtzi that's quoted in the Sifra and by the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvos, but it's much more than that. It's an exception because of the urgency of lo samod. So that's another example of this. Again, the Netziv tries to explain, unlike, if you remember the Ramban holds that the Chiyuv Agadah is Mios Chasadim. That's a very different perspective. I'm contrasting it with that. And the Ksos and the Sivas both thought that even if that isn't the Mechayiv, but there's a separate din of Ashavas Aveda here. The Netziv says there's no Ashavas Aveda in the Chiyuv Agadah because if there's no Chiyuv Agadah, there's no Ashavas Aveda because it really doesn't qualify for that unless there's a Chiyuv Bifnei Atzma. Again, some of the things that we've been saying all along about one status or stature triggering the other. So the result of all this, and if it's a lav and an assay or a lav and all the things that we've been discussing, if it's outsized in its impact, so all of this works well with the idea it's a chiyuv to the system or chiyuv to be an aid, that being an aid, like being a dayan is something that is crucial and therefore assumes this greater portions. So in light of this, just to mention a few things, and we'll follow through with them as we go forward, that also indicate that Eidus is not just supplying information, but that Eidus is a status in the halacha and part of the system. The Eidim aren't just lemaisa, oh, you need some information, if you have it, this is how we filter out sheker, or this is how we make the cost benefit analysis of trusting people. On the one hand, you don't necessarily want to trust people at the expense of other people. On the other hand, for any system to work, there has to be some, mechanism of getting information. That, you can have a very limited view of what Eidus is. But it seems like the halacha put the Eidim, again, on a pedestal. And even though, again, we don't know who they are, I think that's part of it, too, ironically. So the din of Yad Eidim, Tia Bava Rishona Lahamiso, which has to be defined, like what does that really mean? But the very fact of it, that the Eidim somehow, are more offended and therefore have a greater obligation, a greater role even in the Onshim, is something to think about. I'm just going to mention a few things, which could be, again, explained in different ways, but it's part of this bigger picture of what Eidim's transcendent role is. The view, the Deya in the Tanaim, that maybe Eidim have to give Hasra. We talked about this, those who were here in Sanhedrin a couple of years back, towards the end of the year when we learned, we did a whole section on Hasra in general, right? The idea that Hasra is not merely also pragmatic, Lahavkin and Shogit and Eizin, but it's a level of mered, perhaps, in the Avera itself. That's when you violate knowing, that you're going to get punished, or, by expressing, a menaschein, there's a kind of lahachis, built in. Again, I don't want to go into details, and that might be the pshat for the Rambam, at least, of lahavkin mitzvah leizin. But the idea that Eidim have to give Hasra is a very surprising halacha. Like, why should it be Eidim? Again, halacha, we don't paskin that way, but why would there be even a view that Eidim have to give Hasra? The Eidim are just a source of information. Apparently not. Apparently they play some sort of role in the system. So having said that, my personal, theory is that this, elevated role that Eidim play, which is very much reflected in many of the Mefarshim's view of the Chofetz Haggadah and in some of these phenomena, are also the reason why we invest such extraordinary faith, right, in Ploni and Almoni, in any Jews with a Cheskes Kashrus, you know, to say Eidus. And, you know, we believe it as truth. You know, we don't, I mean, everybody understands that in the physical, real world, you know, there's always a chance that people either are delusional or that they're lying, right? We all know that. And in retrospect, we're not in denial of that either. In other words, when there is some chashash that comes up, either din meruma, where the dayanim really have some sort of inkling, questions, what is the, does din meruma have to be based on objective, you know, suspicions or personal ones? Well, that's a Sanhedrin topic, an interesting question. But either way, and certainly when there's hakasha or there's hazama, right, when our reasons, you know, to then, you know, the these practical numbers, just the reality, come into play. But absence any kind of a, you know, clear chasha sheker, we just invest an unbelievable amount of faith in these edim who we basically don't even know. Again, two edim can convict, you know, a million people, you know, for the death penalty. And they can convict people whose cheskes kashrus is spotless. So you have two phenomena. I've mentioned this in the past, so just mentioned it again quickly. Like, we have two opposite phenomena, which I think look opposite, but they really reinforce each other in the halacha's philosophy towards Eidus. One is just this enormous cheskes kashrus, which allows Ploni Almoni to convict, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, unless we're convinced it's a din meruma. But it doesn't matter, right? And again, two people can convict 100 people. That's not trei kameya, you know. That's us edus and nidonim. And that's the way the system works. We invest almost absolute evidence, almost absolute faith in these edim. And it's just a remarkable thing. I'll say it this way. As the Rambam explains in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, you know, based on Psukim and Chazal, right, our belief in Torah Misinai, which is the linchpin, you know, of our Avodas Hashem, is based on Eidus in a way, and surely that can't be, you know, against the Eidus of many Eidim. But in the end of the day, we still say that Trei is Kameya. Saying Trei Kameya is remarkable, right? In Akasha, you can have, you know, two witnesses. Forget about the Nidonim now. You have two witnesses say X, and you have a million of witnesses contradicting them, you know, and we say Trei Kameya. Right? Just the idea that there's a chalos kat, according to many, which is relevant for things like Edisha Batla Mitzasa Batla Kula and other things, certainly in the Fashos, and he's, you know, if not in Mamunas, we'll talk about it. In Mamunas, it may be there are two eight echons, and in, but even in Mamunas, it's clear that there's also a shame kat. In the fashion, certainly there may be a din kat. Maybe you need a din kat. But the phenomenon, legal phenomenon of having, you know, the two as a unit, and therefore they're the kat. Lekula and lechumra. Again, lekula because you say, well, I don't know if that's a kula, trei kameya, right? And you also say, edisha batla mitzasa batla kula. I mean, it can be their Achilles heel, since they're a unit, so there's a problem in the kat. And it's also their strength, their trei kameya, against 2 million. So this seeming, like, illogical, you know, view of two edim, you know, their credibility, it's basically the idea that edus is facts. Unless we have good reason, you know, to challenge their status as edim. But what, if they're edim and perceived as edim, then what they're saying isn't just, you know, a rove or a chazaka, you know, or 90% true. It's 100% true, al pi din. And that's basically what the Rishonim explain. On the other hand, for that very same reason, I think, you have the opposite phenomenon, and that is the low plugs, right, that define the standard of Eidus. We say Moshe v'Aaron shnei achim heim, as the Gemara in Balvasar, Daf Kuf Nun Tes, you know, who could be more trustworthy than Moshe and Aaron, right? But they're brothers, and they're posseliedos. So you could convict Moshe, and you can convict Aaron, or you can convict them both, you know, as a group. And they can't testify together, right? Ploni and Almoni, assuming they're not related to each other, or known to be psulim, are bearing the truth, and Moshe and Aaron are stating their opinion, you know? That's a very remarkable thing. Now again, this is a famous discussion. If you look at the Rambam and you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, so they explain, of course, that, you know, because Kurva, there's a built-in, you know, tendency, they say in opposite ways, you know, either the Chinuch and the Rambam, either a tendency, you know, that, you know, to lie on behalf of a Karo, or a tendency, you know, to be annoyed with your Krovim and, you know, to try to convict them. That's an interesting argument in its own right. So the Minchas Chinuch is very upset by this, and Minchas Chinuch quotes the Rambam, he quotes a Chinuch, and he says, I don't understand. The Gemara says it's a Gzeres HaMelech. Clearly, Gzeres HaMelech doesn't mean that there's no basis for it. What it means is that it's a low plug. But it's more than just a low plug. It's, to me, at least, I think the real idea is that the low plug of the standard is a function of, you know, the how much we invest in it as truth. Meaning the kulas and the chumras are two sides of the same coin. We're just treating edus in a way that is completely different than what we would have from a pragmatic point of view. Oh, you need information. Let's weigh, you know, the... So once you get past the delusional part, which is the Nesivus' explanation, why do you need two edim? Why not one edim? Right. So the answer may be, Luxos says the answer is, we'll talk about this when we get to Eidachon again. It's Gzeres HaKasa. And I might give the answer that in order to establish facts and MS and truth in the way that we're talking about, this transcendent investment of credibility, so for that you need a kat. You need chalos edus. And that requires two. One is an individual. The Nesiva says differently. The Nesiva says, you know, one man can be delusional. You know, here's where we usually quote, you know, Tolstoy. But, you know, we don't have to do this time if you don't want. So, you know, that, I paraphrase and adapt Tolstoy, I should say. You know, it's all people, this is my adaptation. You know, all people are delusional, you know, in different ways, right? No two people are delusional in exactly the same way. So the point is, that's what the Nesiva says. The Nesiva says, really, Eid Echad is a shame aid. And we'll talk about this when we get to, it's obviously relevant to what we've already discussed. Eid Echad is an aid. But the only thing is that with a single aid, there's always the possibility, he doesn't say delusional, by the way. What he says is, the phrase that he uses, bididami. Meaning his imagination can mislead him. He can just be wrong. He can, you know, have dreamt it and not realize it. But typically, you know, just like every Navi is Menabe, you know, in a different signon, you know, most people's dreams are different and their delusions are different. So when you have two Edim, you kind of filter out, that's how the Nesivus explains it, you filter out like the personal, delusional, or whatever, you know, the personal corruptions. But and once you get past that, so then you're relying on that. I would have thought it's not just the Gzeres HaKasuv, and it's not just, you know, to eliminate the delusional. Although I think the Gzeres HaKasuv and the elimination of the delusional have to do with the shame kat and with this investment that we're making in the aid. And because of this, there are so many, the Cheskes Kashus, the Lo Plug, the Opsug Psul, the Maim Har Sinai part, the Trey Kameya, the Kulal Chumra, the question of Gimel and Base, we still have to talk about that. You know, Alpish Shnayim Ushlosh Edim in the discussion of the Ramban. Let me allude to it just very, very quickly in a second, but, you know, we'll talk about it maybe another time. But a lot of the Dinim of Edus of Kat and so on, I think, reflect this. One of the Dinim I think really reflects this also is the idea of integrity of Edus, meaning the Din of Davar Velo Chatzi Davar. Which is a very, very peculiar halacha when you think about it. Davar v'lo chatzi davar means that there has to, the edim have to tell a certain tale. Right? There has to be a certain integrity, a certain self-sufficiency, right, to the testimony that they are giving. Now, this is, again, this is not, I don't think we're going to get to this. Oh, well, I don't think we're going to have this here, but it's a sugya in Bava Kama, and it's a sugya in Sanhedrin. It comes up a few places. Davar v'lochatzi davar. So according to the Rimigash, I'm going to say it this way, the Rimigash understood davar v'lochatzi davar in a very logical way, but then he, again, you know, he kind of neutralized the whole thing. Davar l'chati davar for the Rimigash ends up being that, you know, half facts do not a whole fact make. If you say, if 1/8 says, you know, I saw a, you know, a half simon of godless, and the other one says, I saw a half simon, you know, of in another place, right? So, you know, two simanim do not a gadol make, unless they're in one physical location. That's all davar v'lochatzi davar lahalacha means, according to the Rimigash. So then it's nothing, basically. Which is why all the Rishonim rejected the Rimigash, even though it just makes much more sense from one standpoint, but they just thought, that's davar v'lochatzi davar, that's obvious. Hay amar katanu, one said, oh, you know, echad begabo, the other one said, echad bekreso. Even if both facts are true, they don't combine, because, as they say, a half simon here, a half simon there does not a gadol make. So, of course, hayamar katan, but hayamar katan. So it's a big chiddush to say not a gadol. Moreover, it doesn't work in well with the language of the Gemara. What motivated the Rimigash to say that? This is in the sugya in Bava Basra, by the way, a nun bav, Bava Basra. What motivated him to say it is because he just couldn't believe his eyes or his ears. Meaning he couldn't believe that, you know, if you believe Edim and they come along and they testify, I'm not talking about Eid Achad and Eid Achad. Let's say Shnayim Eid, Shnayim Omrim, you know, let's say Shnayim Omrim, you know, Echad Begaba on here, and Shnayim Omrim, you know, Od Echad Begaba there, in such a way that if the two Edim had said, you know, Ra'inu, Echad Begaba here and Echad Begaba there, you know, that would be a gadol. But because it came from two different Edim, two different sets of Edim, so it doesn't work. Right? It's not even Eid Echad v'Eid Echad. So the Rimigash basically couldn't believe it. He was, you know, he was perplexed. He said, it's inconceivable that you believe Edim as MS, right? And then that you can't combine the fact, you know, into a you know, significant halachic conclusion. Why can't you? You take the scraps, and if you believe them, you know, that's the way a good DA, you know, puts together a case, right? So most Rishonim think that, all Rishonim think that the Rimigash is wrong. But he did an amazing service by holding strong in that point and highlighting how mechudash davar v'lochatzi davar is. So what does it mean? Apparently it means that what I just said is not true. Meaning, the case, the cheftza shel edus has to have integrity. If edus is just facts, right, that in combination, you know, combine to make a case, and it's the dayanim, let's say, who are making the case, you know, that's not Eidos. Why not? The answer is because there is a certain transcendent status to Eidos, as we've been explaining. We don't just think that, oh, you know, probably they're telling the truth because, you know, 84.3% of the population are honest and accurate, you know, and so on. You know, if that were the case, then there's no better rove, you know, in you know, Shnayim Omrim, you know, Echad Begaba, you know, here, you know, east, and Shnayim Omrim Echad Begaba, you know, west. As long as they're combined, there's no, the numbers don't change. But what does change is Chalos and Cheftza Shel Edus. Just like there's a Kat, there's also something called Cheftza Shel Edus. And only Cheftza Shel Edus has the status of Edus. And the Chiddush of the Gemara, and there's a debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, and the debate in Rishonim how to define davar v'lochatzi davar. Again, I don't want to get into the particulars at this moment. I just want to use it to highlight that there's a certain integrity to cheftza shel edus which is basically completely incomprehensible, right, if you don't look at Eidos in a certain way. The Torah having made a leap and given status, you know, to Eidos. For the same, perhaps for the same reason, maybe not, the ability, just one more second, to augment Eidos in ways that you could augment other epistemological, let's say, sources, is mostly rejected by Rishonim. For example, this is the question that the Rishonim all discuss, right? Why don't you say, you know, in the case of Hazama, why don't you say that every Hazama you should believe the second, or I'm sorry, why don't you say that every Hakasha that you should believe the second Kat? Right? Migu, Dibai, Omri, Imanu Ayisem, Boso Ayom. They could have said that we were in Chicago with you in Chicago, so we should believe them when they say you're lying. It's not true. Right? So why don't you say that? It seems like you don't say that. Hakasha is Trey Utrey. And Hazama is the Chiddush HaTorah. We'll talk about Hazama in just a second. So why is that? So the Baalei Tosfos give different answers to that question, right? Two types of answers, we'll just say, broadly speaking. One is, for technical reasons, it's hard, you know, just like, you know, when it comes to delusion, you know, people don't have the same delusions. Also in the art and craft of lying, you know, this is a davar yadua. You know, Chazal said it, but, you know, I think, you know, it's accepted in the criminal justice world. That, you know, lying is not so easy. It's easy to be a liar, but it's not so easy to keep lies straight. And that's why, you know, good prosecutors, cross-examiners, etc., and if there's a lie that is shared, right, it's particularly requires unbelievable skill and art, you know, to keep everything straight. The more facts, the more people, right, it just becomes a disaster, you know, to keep everything, you know, compelling. So that's what Baalei Tosfos say. In Ksuvas Daf Yud Ches, or Bava Basra Daf, you know, Lamed, what is it, Aleph Omid Beis, they say, you know, B'Trei Edim, we don't believe in Miku. It's just too hard to keep things straight. There's no Miku. There are other reasons why there's no Miku. Maybe Miku is only for Baalei Dvarim. It's, you know, that's a Miku issue. But those are technical answers to this question that are given. However, the Baalei Tosfos also say, and Ramban in Bava Basra and in Ksuva says it even more strongly, and that is a fundamental answer. And that is, you can never do better than Eidos. Well, it's said in two ways. You can never pretty much do better than Eidos. Because Trei Kameya. So what are you going to say? You have two Eidim and a Migu, and that's going to beat out another two Eidim. But 98 other Eidim or a million other Eidim wouldn't have beaten out the two. So what are you saying? That the Migu is stronger than the Eidos? So again, that could be understood in a more technical way, the way I just said it. But the way that some Rishonim seem to formulate it is that it's a principled point, which is two Eidim are the apex. You can't do better than two Eidim. Which is why with Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah, I said I'll get back to it in a second, al pishnayim o shlosha Eidim, right? So what is shnayim and shlosha? So again, we learned Sanhedrin, we discuss this a lot. Reb Sajagon has a very famous Perush that the Ramban quotes, that is shnayim al pishlosha. It means two Eidim who are accepted by the third, by three, sorry. Meaning, the chiddush of Reb Sajagon is that in dinei nefashos cases, in capital cases where you require a bezin of 23, you could have the kabbalas edus, you know, with a bezin of 3, reporting to the bezin of 23. You don't have to have a kabbalas edus of 20. That's a whole issue, not our topic. Now, what is the relationship between din, psak, masomatan, and Kabbalah? What is the difference between the various stages in Din? Kabbalah Seidus, right? Masomaton, the various types of Psak that we will get into in this week. But okay, good. That's from Sajigo. The Ramban says it's absolutely wrong. He thinks that the principle is wrong. Namely, you have to have a Bezdin for Kabbalah's Edus that, you know, the configuration of which can pask in the case. That's Ramban's view. And the Chiddush Aran, and then possibly the Chalak, we talked about it in Sanhedrin. How does Ramban interpret Al-Pi Shnayim or Shlosha Edim if he doesn't interpret like Rav Sajigon? So he says, well, Shlosha Edim are preferred to Shnayim. If you have Shnayim, you can be done. If you have Shlosha, even better. Because aren't three better than two in terms of giving you confidence that what you're saying is that the MS is being, you know, conveyed? So some of the Achronim just raise the point. They ask, like, isn't this Ramban seemingly incompatible with the view which the Ramban himself, you know, strongly advocates in Ksuvis and in Vavasra that I just mentioned, which is that you can't do better than Shnayim. That's why Migu doesn't work. So I think that there are two different issues. One is a pragmatic one, and one is a formal one. Meaning, al pi din, a kat is a kat. And as long as there are two, that's a kat. We don't look at the numbers. Two edim is the high, is truth. Unless it's being challenged, and even when it's being challenged, it's treated as true. On a more pragmatic level, if you ask me, would Dayanim and would the Balei Dinim feel better if there was more evidence than less? The answer is they would. All right, either way, we have to get back to all, you know, al pi shnayim edim yakum davar, and whether that's a fact or that, let's talk a little more about that, whether that's a fact, whether it's an iser, you know, what exactly. There, by the way, I should add that Rabbi Yochanan Feshel Perlo in Sefer Mitzvot Sajigon, he discusses this Ramban. He thinks it's all a din d'rabbanan, and it's an asmachta b'alma. How could the Ramban, not because of the reasons I just mentioned, he just thinks that there's so much evidence that there's no such din of a lechatchila d'oraisa that there should be three edim when the halacha allows for two. The whole thing is an asmachta. It can't be the pshat in minyan mitzvos, and so on. But I don't think that the evidence, maybe I'll talk about that very briefly. I don't think his evidence is very strong at all. I think it raises some very interesting questions. I think Ramban meant it d'oraisa. And he was trying to show that there are two issues here. One is the legal formal one, the din, and then the other is a kind of a pius for the Balei Dinim. Anyways, this question about augmenting edus, you could have said that it's a technical problem. You could have said it's a fundamental problem, but one that is limited to, it's on the migu side, not on the edus side. What I'm trying to show is that some deos and tosis and ksuvis and balvasra, and certainly the Ramban, think that it's an edus halacha. So just to, you should know, the issue comes up again with regard to other things, not just migu, because you know, two people aren't good at lying, migu's for balei dvarim, migu's a different kind of whatever it is, a nemanus, a bir, whatever you want to say. What about chazaka? Right? Or what about a shvua? Right? Can a chazaka augment edus? Partly that's the question of treu trei, sveka d'oraisa or sveka d'rabbanan. I'm sorry, we're going a little bit. I just wanted to make clear the background of edus since we. What's so important about edus in Chovas Haggadah? Right? There's a debate in the Gemara throughout Shas, especially in Ksuvas and Bava Basra, right? Whether treu trei, sveka d'oraisa or sveka d'rabbanan. So the nafkamina is, you had it last year, those who learned Kedushin, right? And the Sugya and Samachei would base. Yanei HaMelech, famous Yanei HaMelech, and his mother is Chazaka, and the Rashi and the Tosfos, whole business on Samachei, Amud Aleph, sorry, in Kedushin. But of course, in the second parak of Ksuvis, Bava Basra, in the third parak, all over the place, Trei Trei Sveka D'Oraisa means that when you have Trei Trei, Chazaka is not going to help you. Treu trei sveka d'rabbanan means chazaka can be machria. That might be because there's a clash, and when there's a clash, maybe is it kehisa, kelesa? Those are those kind of issues, right? But it could very well be this question, and that is, the nature of edus may be such that it doesn't allow for outside augmentation. Shavua is another example. Gemara says in also Kiddushin Sogya. Gemara says in Kiddushin that talks about Nogea Badavar. We'll talk about Nogea when we get to it. But in Shavuos it comes up again in Lamed Gimel. The Gemara seems to say that you know, whether or not if you hold aid a shliach nasa aid, you know, if you let's say the Baal sends the aidim to be mekadish the isha on his behalf, so we paskin the shliach nasa aid. So if you do that, so then you know it's not only a question, you know, whether and when you say the birchas eruvin, right? Everybody should remember that very fondly, I hope. The Ravid and the Rivash and so on. But there's also the question, you know, is that going to be a problem? Maybe there's no Gius Bedavar, no Ge Bedavar in Kiddush and Kesef, because the Baal gives the Edom money, right? They claim that the Kiddush took place, that's their Edos, because if they didn't, they'd have to give back the money, right? So if they can't give back the money, so that's the Gemara's discussion in the second parak of Kiddushin. Right, if you hold, you know, Bavu b'chaveru b'bifneidim tzarich l'faro be'edim, a whole discussion in the Gemara. Anyway, the Bali Tosas and the Rishonim Alatar all say, well, what's the big deal? Because Gemara says now the Shavuos Hases, you know, things are whatever. So the Gemara says, well, why can't you believe the Edim after a Shavua? Well, let the Edim take a Shavua and then believe them. Or let's say there's no Tviya Mitzad the Baal. Let's say the Baal didn't say, oh, you know, you have to give me back your money. And so he says, I don't care about that, I believe you. So effectively, you take the problem, right, you neutralize the problem. Either you neutralize the problem by taking a Shavua in advance, the Edim, or in some other way, the Chila, whatever. Let's say it's worth it for the Baal to, you know, but they should be credible, you know, so he's Mochel the money in case they didn't Makadosh. So there's a debate among the Rishonim. Now, the reasons you can't do that is technical, or the reasons you can't do this because the Hagdara of Eidos, by definition, that's what Tosa says in on Mem Gimel and Beis in Kiddushin, and the Mordechai has a stronger formulation, the Ritva there. The reason you can't do it is because the Hagdara of Eidos is its self-sufficiency. If you require some other act, right, in order to establish, you know, yourselves as Eidos, or your credibility as Eidos, that by definition is no longer Eidos. That's a very remarkable idea. Not everybody agrees with it in principle. But again, in another way, and you could be Mechalek, this speaks to the question of the integrity. There's something called Chetza Shel Eidos, or Chalos Eidos. And it has to achieve a certain stature. There's an irony to treat it as not just the likely, you know, reconstruction of what took place, but to give it the legal status of absolute epistemological truth, right, without any suffix. To do that, right, you have to have certain standards in kashrus, in the Gabra Eidim, in the Chefta Shal Eidus, to begin with. That's expressed in Davar Lachati Davar, and it's expressed in the self-sufficiency of the Chefta Shal Eidus, as well as many other. I'll give you one other example, and then I don't want to spend too much time on this. The PM Veloma Piksava. Right? The idea, a very complicated topic in Halacha, right? Can you write a deposition and send it through the mail? Is there a din, is there a special din that you require that the Edim Dafka be present in court? A. B. That they be able to articulate, that they be able to speak, you know, to their verbalize their Edims. Right? These are quite, without going into detail, there are a bit of Tam and the Rama, a whole Torah is about this, the Ritva and Mordechai, and so on and so forth. Mamanus and Fashos. But certainly, again, there might be some technical questions and issues, you know, about the capacity, you know, the ium factor, let's say, you know, actually being in Beis Din, you know, the possibility of cross-examination, you know, those kind of things, as opposed to just, you know, writing a summary and sending it in and so on and so forth. That might be very much part of it. That's certainly how some explain it. But others think it's a Xeris HaKasuv. It's not defined as Eidos unless it's Mipia, wherever you draw the line in that. Implying, again, that Eidos isn't just about scraping together, you know, some facts, you know, that are endorsed by people that, as far as we know, you know, are not suspect, and then we put it together. That's how we do it. But rather, there's something that has to qualify as Eidos, and there are different aspects of that. The din of requiring the Bali Dvarim to be present, you know, when the Eidos is given, right? In Eidim, Eidim Shelo Bifnei Baldin, Sugya in Bava Kama of Kufyud Beis, and again it comes up in Ksuvis. Is also something which could be understood in a very, very practical way. Some think it's only a din drabanan or it's a practical halacha, but others think it's Xeris HaKasuv, and it has to do with the role and the way that Eidos works. The relationship between Hazama and Akasha, of course, a huge topic. How different is Hazama and Akasha in either direction? You know, to what extent is Hazama a different kind of Eidos on the or dispute on the din, but just treated differently? Or to what extent is Hakasha also an attack on the Gavra Eidim? That's typically what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say this shortly, believe it or not, briefly. Typically, you know, we like the formulation of the Ramban al Torah in Parsha Shoftim that got picked up by the Tur and credited to the Tur for some reason, but it is really the Ramban's formulation, which is that Hazama is Eidos against the Eidim, right? Accusing them of being in Chicago. A terrible crime. As opposed to Eidos, a conflict about Eidos Alamaisa, which is what Hakasha is all about. But it's not so simple in either direction. Because implicit in Hakasha is also an attack on the credibility of the other people, even though it comes through a discussion about the case. There's even evidence, you know, that two Eidim implicitly back each other up. You know, when two Eidim come to court, they testify about something, but when they testify together, you know, it's implicit. It seems to be discussion between Rashi and Tosis and Bava Kama Daf Ayin Beis. It's implicit that they're also supporting each other. So what I'm trying to say is that both in Hakasha and the same and on the Hakasha side, to say that it's all just about the Eidos and has nothing to do with either supporting your fellow Eid or attacking another Kat is logically and halachically not so posh. On the Hazama part, you know, it's very, very fetching to say what the Ramban says, which is that Hazama is an attack on the Gavra Eidim and not on the Eidos. But it's also true, as Ramban himself notes, and the Rama, especially earlier, noted, that we still say Zomeim Chidushu, even if we say that Svara, and the reason is because Gufa, that fine line, if you were to come to court and say to somebody, you know, about two Eidim that they're from, that they were in Chicago on a certain day, that would just be called gossip. You know, it would be Eidos Shav. You know, why do we care about that? We only care about it because of the impact on the case. So what I'm trying to say is, and that also ends up having impact, like in Hazama, who, what's the din of Eina Eidim, you know, Meidim Shalom Bifnei Baldin? Who's the Baldin in a Hazama case, and who's the Baldin in a Hakasha case? Or to pay, put it in a different way, when the Gemara in Meruba speaks about Hakasha Tchilas Hazama, and that has meaning, like, what does that mean if they're totally different institutions? The answer is that they are different emphases, and we treat them differently. That's the Chiddush of Hazama. But in the end of the day, there's something of Eidos ala Gavra clashes in Akasha, and there's something about Eidos ala Maisa in Hazama. But all of this is so much better understood if you understand that the core of it all is the Chiddush HaTorah of Al Pishnayim Eidim. Of Eidos and Chepta Shal Eidos itself. And that is really at the heart of seeing Eidim, you know, you know, as the idea wants to give hasra, yadam, you know, barishona lahamiso. I mean, it's all connected to the outsized role that Adam play in the process. And there are many, many other issues, but that's kind of the... So then, when we find that the Chovas HaGadah, right, is treated in such a chomer way, and we find that it's Arba Tzrich and Achraza, one of them is Eid Zomein, Chinuch says, oh, but it's because of the role of Eidus. You have to protect Eidus in the system. Therefore, Hazama is a particularly dastardly... And even though we don't really know in the end, it is on a certain level Trey or Trey in Hazama. And yet, Al Pidin, we're treating the Edom HaRishonim as if they're Vadai liars, right? In the same way that we treat Edom who come in a vacuum as Vadai telling the truth, right? That seems opposite, but really they're two sides of the same coin. All of this underscores the Nesius Avon, the Kisechata, you know, the Lav part, the Hachraza part of all of this. Ellie had a question way back? Or we took care of it? We took care of it? Zohar? No Zohar? Itamar.
I have a question. First, that a lot of these demons seem contingent on the fact that they didn't decide to testify. So, for example, if they didn't testify, then you have to deal with Dinah Zama.
Then what?
If they testify, then you have to contend with Dinah Zama.
Right.
Or if they testify, then you have to worry about Davar Mulakasi Davar.
Correct.
But how does that relate to the fear of Hatkila?
Well, I mean, obviously you could be mechalek, and I'm trying to provide a perspective. What I'm trying to explain, which is the common denominator, which doesn't mean that you can't be mechalek, is that we don't, in both cases, we just don't treat Eidos simply as providing scraps of information. That we, the Chiyuv HaGadah part I'm trying to explain is that the Eidim's role in the legal system is... a stature role, meaning something called Gabra Edom, and something called Chepsa Shel Edus.
So
absolutely. You could say, let's say further, what we've seen in the case is that there are some Rishonim, certainly, who think that Imla Yagid is about Hatzalah or about Gram Hefsid Mamon. And as far as they are concerned, I don't think, let me say it this way, thanks to your question, If you take that view of Chovas HaGadah, which some of the Mefarshim have, some of the Rishonim have, I don't think that in any way that undermines the view that Eidos plays, and Eidos and Eidim are a chalos, and that they play an outsized role in the system, including a lot of the other things that we just talked about. I also think that if we take the view that the Chovas HaGadah is more urgent, and it's more about than Klape Chavero, and that it is a din in the Marechet HaMishpat, and it's not just a pragmatic halakha, then that's something that fits in nicely with these other things. But to be mechalik, which is what you're...
Even our fact gatherers, our fact suppliers, that could be hugely critical for Marechet
HaMishpat. 100%. They are fact suppliers. I'm just trying to show that if they were only fact suppliers, then some of these dinim would make no sense. Lekula lechomra. And the fact that they are not only fact suppliers, but they're, let's put it this way, their facts are considered to be emes, vadai, in the cases where they qualify in the, as chalos edim and chalos edus, is further reason to require some of these standards, lekula and lekumra, and also further reason, right, to consider Chovas HaGadah not merely to be a typical mitzvah saseh and sheva al taseh, but to see it as something stronger. That's all I'm saying.
My second question is, how does this whole view of the transcendence or the centrality of Eidim, how does that cohere with the Rambam in Perikop Da'al Al-Khalid? That they don't really have...
Because that's a Din Meruma. I already
looked that before. That's not even Din Meruma. Before the Rambam gets Din Meruma.
Right. It's a Din Meruma, right, type... yeah, you're talking about the discretion of the Dayan.
That's what I mean. Reading in Din Meruma in Perikop Da'al Al-Khalid is very theory-laden interpretation of Perikop
Da'al. Right, I don't want to get to that.
Rambam even closed the halacha saying, well, if the Dayan really decide a Pirosa, then why does the Torah have what's the significance of two Eidim?
Right.
And Rambam says, oh, it's when the Dayan is agnostic about...
Right, so I see that. That's what I mean by Din Meruma, meaning...
This is before the Dayan has Din Meruma.
No, I understand. Din Meruma is a symptom, is what I'm trying to say. Parakov Dalad is of Ilkhasan, is remembered of the Sanhedrin.
Yes.
Not talking about Parakov Dalad of Ilkhasaidas, Parakov Dalad of the Sanhedrin.
So,
I know. And that there's a good reason for that, by the way. But Ellie will tell you why. Is he here? He's gone. Oh, there he is. He'll tell you why, the gematria wise. But what I mean by being a Dumruma is that this is, again, when we learned Sanhedrin a couple of years ago, I wasn't waxing as eloquent about the Eidos, you know. It was my job then to wax eloquent about the Dayanim. I just don't think, I'm not really so focused on my job. That's right. He said, well. Although I think you're the one originally suggested we should do Shavuos, right? But, you know, it was a good idea. It is a good idea.
I don't think
anybody thinks I'm serious about my job. Right, so that's a Dayanus halacha. I do not in any way mean to say that everything is about Eidos and the transcendence is Eidos. I think, you know, Shoftim v'Shoftim, again, the parallel, you know, that we were talking about before in Mor Nevuchim between the Melech, the Dayanim, and the Eidim, which again, there's no question in the realm. Of course, Eidim play an important role. But of course, we understand that Melech is a chalos, and we understand that Dayanim is a chalos, and especially if it's called Pelech and Pelech and Kol Ir the Ir. And what I'm trying to say is that the Eidim are a chalos as well. The fact that Dayanim, and that's what I mean by Din Merum, I don't mean technically the Gemara that speaks about Din Meruma and the Rambam that codifies it later in that parak. What I mean is the idea that Dayanim play an outsized role is not inconsistent with this broader view. It's a parallel. Again, what's fascinating is that we say Ein Eid Nasa Dayan. So let me just mention that also just very quickly since we're doing the meta stuff right now. So that too is a very, very major debate among Rishonim. Why is Ein Eid Nasa Dayan? And some of the Rishonim understand that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan is a technicality. Oh, you know, he's not going to be Makabal Eidos against his own interest. Oh, it's Eidos She'iyata Yachal Lahazima, right? The view of Bali Tosis in a few places. But there are quite a few Rishonim, especially the Olek Rashi and the Rashbam, that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan passes you already Mishas Re'iyah. And even if you hold that Eidos is defined by Haggadah, but if you think it's Exeris HaKasuv, or it's defined in a certain way, I don't want to go into the whole sugya right now because it's not our topic. Again, it's a Sanhedrin, Rosh Hashanah, Bava Basra, you know, topic. But suffice it to say that there are some who think, and there are huge nafkamina, that Ein Eid Nasa Dayan is about the relationship of the roles, right? To what extent can an aid, you know, be a Dayan? And the more you think that Eidos is a distinct function and Dayanus is a distinct function, that both of them play a transcendent role, the more compelling it is to say that Be'ikaron, they're Eidim and they're Dayanim. And they just can't overlap and accomplish the same thing. So I think that there are...
So we do say that Dayanim can be done on Piriyas.
Yes, correct. But that's not Batar's Eidim. That's why they can...
That means we can dispense with
Eidim. That's part of the...
We can dispense with Eidim entirely.
In some rare cases. Right, where the Dayan...
So long as three...
And that depends on, again, Balayla, you know, Bayom. Right, but again, that goes to your second point, which I don't think is a stira, although I'm glad for the Ha'ara, which is that Dayanim's license and their role is huge. And you can say sometimes that Dayanim can be done right without Eidos. But for the very same reason, they can't be Eidim and Dayanim at the same time, because those are two chaloses. If they weren't chaloses, it was just a question of providing the fact. As long as you believe them and you didn't have these other technical problems, it wouldn't be an issue at all. So I think that all these, again, the question of that we discussed in the very beginning, right, I gave the example of B'shaftus Amish Batzedek, the Umdu Shnei Anashim, right, V'hu Eid or Ra Yada, Eila Mishpatim V'lo Lifnei Arkos, meaning... whether Bal Davar, Eidim, and Dayanim, right, are treated in parallel or very different, I talked about Eini Yodea, right? These are all important questions about this broader question. The question even of posture is important, which we'll talk more about in the technical parts of the Sugya and Lama Dhamma Beis, which we're going to get to soon. Namely, why Dayanim are B'Yeshiva and Edim are B'Amida? What about Bali Dinim, you know, being B'Amida? Even, you know, symbolically, assuming it's not just a din of Mora or Iyum, which some people think, it's more, the stronger evidence is that the role of Dayanim, Bali Dinim, Edim, are just distinct. These are three pivotal, and especially the two, obviously, are two pivotal elements. Now, sometimes you work one without the other. Sometimes the emphasis of one is greater than the other. But I don't think that's a steer at all. I think it's a steer. Yeah.
It's true that even if the discretion of the Dayanim in Chazal and Aleph itself is not in tension with the transcendence of Eden,
right,
the fact that the Rambam concludes the halacha with Imkein Lama Tzricha Torah Shnei Eden.
No, it's a rhetorical. I think that's a rhetorical. If the Dayanim are so powerful, but remember, this is the same Rambam who in Ilkos Yisod
HaTorah. What do you mean that it's rhetorical?
Meaning he just wants to build up in a melodramatic way just how powerful the Dayanim are. Like, what do we even need Edim for?
This isn't Igeres HaShemad.
What?
This is not Igeres HaShemad.
I don't think Igeres HaShemad is Igeres HaShemad either. Even Yavin. We know what we mean.
So but, reading this line is not meant as, and I'm going to think that there's a tension for saying that.
No, I don't think so. I think the Rambam's saying, wow, this license is enormous. So, you know, why, you know, would we even require this other transcendent institution? The answer is because in most cases, you're not going to have that level of conviction. And you're not going to have that, the exercise of that license, even though it's a possibility. I think that's a normal question. But, yeah.
I was wondering, how does Rebbe's Machalach of the Chatzah Shel Hedus fit with the last Rambam of the Chosgeir by Daigo? He says, Al Yashav Enecha Shea Tino Chachon Ma Erba Achamura Ve Hedus Yisho Eben O Shem Chol Goy Kam Asiyah Pitumo Ve Yudye Ve Yudyak Sab Ve Lo Jisho Ve Takhira Kamosh Biyarno.
No, that's beautiful. The Rambam is saying there's something called Eidos. And when you require Eidos, you require Chatzah Shel Eidos, Bimbalo Tokfo, meaning Sheirim, and it can't be hearsay, not made me P'aid. And, you know, we have all the dinim that we have. But the only things that you require Eidos for is when you have that threshold and that standard, and when there is no other way, given that standard, to provide facts. But Milsa Davidi, I mean, there happens to be steerers in that Rambam to other things, but, you know, the Rambam is... You know, whether Rama holds that Milsa Davidi Ligluye is Daraisa, or that, you know, Edus Habal, Daiko Mintzava is only Drabanan, like, there's a huge literature on that, based on that Rambam and other Rama. But that's not for now. The main point is that what the Rama is really saying there is, if we don't really have a Safek, because we can be Mavarir, if we don't need Edus, because you can Mavarir certain other things on the basis of Kazakos or Namanus, right? Why is it an Isurim? You know, that you can get away with less. And why Nadus? The answer is because you can dispel the Safek through Nemanus. And that's fine. It's only where you need Eidos that the Dinim of Edim and Eidos apply. That, by the way, this is very connected to another question that we discussed, half discussed, but haven't fully discussed yet. Kiblo Alai, Eidos Ish, you're asking from, right? Eidos Habal. Edus Sota, Egla Rufa, Isurim. Namely, what is the line between Nemanus and Edus? As we've already seen in the Achronim, certainly, but already a little bit in some of the Rishonim, it's the tendency of one group to think that whenever something works, that's an expansion of Edus. And it's Midin Edus. And there are clearly Yerushalmi and the Rishonim and a lot of Achronim think that that's not correct. Even when things are sufficient, there's still a difference between Eidos and Amanos. And there are huge nafgamina, whether we say Komakom Hare Yishnai, whether there's a Chiyuv Chovas Haggadah, whether there's a Chiyuv Shuas Eidos, whether it will be subject to Azama, whether there'll be Malkus for Losana, right? You know, and so on, whether there's a Din of Drisha V'Chakira. Meaning, so all those distinctions, even though we do believe the Namanos, right? But apparently, Eidos Bebezdin, that's fact. That's not just, oh, it resolved the Safek, you know, so we can move on. It's like other things in the world that we rely on. Even though, in fact, there are 7% of the world that are liars or just, you know, delusional. I made up the numbers. Right? Could be higher, could be lower. The answer is Alpidin. We're not go race that Alpidin. So that Rambam is basically saying, not that this is Eidos, but you don't need Eidos because Musavi de Liguye. I happen to think the Rambam really holds Musavi de Liguye. All right, so I'm not going to want to get into that right now.
But he says the opposite of evil.
What?
He's not sure that
Hilchos Yibo is there. Yeah. And you have technical. I mean, it's a whole business. But I think what the point is that Giluye Milsa and Uvdos can be established through Chazaka and other things. Eidos is when Uvdos are not enough. I mean, facts. And that's when you have Davar Velochatzi Davar. Because again, Uvdos, facts, you scrape it together if you're a good, you know, investigator. So you have a scrap here and a scrap there. You put it together. If you believe this, you believe that, you believe the next thing, you can make the case. In a Nemanos perspective, or to dispel, you know, a level of Safek, you know, that you can work with in terms of Rove and so on, why not? It's not the Rimigash's Davar Malacha. Davar Malacha is only one of the Rai. You understand what I'm saying? So both Lekula and Lechumi gave way more weight to these Aden than they deserve on a factual, pragmatic level, right? And way less to them when they don't achieve in Azama or in Davar V'Lochatzi Davar or in Lo Plug. Moshe V'Aaron, come on, does anybody really think Moshe and Aaron are coming to court in their life? So you say, oh, it's to save the system. But I think it's more than that. It is to save the system. But it's to save the system. It's part of Chalos Shem Eidos. You need people who objectively, structurally, you know, don't have built-in spec, because if you do, it doesn't matter that you're Moshe and Aaron Lemaisa, we know who they are and what their track record is, right? But objectively, there may be Nemanos, but it can't be Eidos.
If anything is all about Nemanos, why you have that Lachtika Hakilu Chacham in the Davar? That sounds like the Chacham are expanding something, but even if the Chacham didn't get involved, they should be in Neman.
No, I think that you can, in the world, Nemanos are still standards, right? We still say that there are standards in Nemanos, and some people think Komokom is a din in Nemanos. I mean, there's still levels and threshold in Nemanos, as there should be, logically. Yeah?
Does what we said explain Alpha's
what's that?
To accept circumstantial evidence?
Say that one more time.
Is this why we don't accept circumstantial evidence in Alpha?
What do you mean potential evidence?
Circumstantial.
Oh, circumstantial evidence, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that so it comes up here in Shula, so. Meaning, the question is, do we accept circumstantial evidence in Dini Mamanus or not? Right. We don't in Dini Nefashos, that's clear, except certain kind of circumstantial evidence, which is so compelling that we either consider it to be a Vaadai, not a Safe, or there are certain kind of, I'll tell you now, but I'll get to it then, there's certain kind of circumstantial evidence where the things that you've seen with your own eyes just become equivalent to the consequence. I'll give you the example. I mean, how will you explain? We talked about it last year. Anybody remember last year? Correct. How can you have Eidos on Kiddush Ebiya? Right? In the end, it's Nefashos. Right? It's Davar Sheberba. Davar Sheberba, circumstantial evidence should not apply. You don't actually see the physical Maisa Biya. Right? This is a question. So is it that, oh, the Eidos in Bia is different than the Eidos in Kesef and Shtar? Maybe. Because Bia doesn't need to be propped up with Eidikium and say. There are many explanations. One explanation is that hein hein ne yichud, hein ne bia doesn't mean umdana alone. Or it does, but the umdana there works that it's prospective, not just retrospective. That's how Shuvas HaRajba explains it, and it goes Shuvas Mamunios. But it's, I think, also what you do see because of the relationship between that stage and the rest is so strong, that becomes not Eidus Umdana, but that becomes the equivalent of seeing the action. Understand? We'll get to it when we get to it. But you're 100% right. Eidus Umdana, which is not like that, where it's not perspective and so on and so forth and so on, is very compelling. Right? So why would it? But again, there's a debate whether we're in Dina Mamanus. Maybe we do accept Eidus Umdana. That could, might be because in Mamanus we care about Eidus, not necessarily Eidim or Eidim and not Eidus. There's still distinctions between Maman and Nefashos, as reflected by Eid Echad and Eidus Miuchedes, another example. They're obvious to say it this way, that an Eidei Mamanus, having Eidus on the Chiyuv, Hagavra, is sufficient. In Dina Nefashos, you need to have Eidus on the Maisa Veira. That's why Eidus Umdana and Eidus Miuchedes. The Rambam seems to equate Eidus Miuchedes and Eidus Umdana. But we'll get to that when we get to Lama Gimel here in Shul. We'll talk about that more fully. Okay, good. Wow. Ooh. Wow. Okay. That was just meant to, you know, to explain why the Chofetz Chagad. Okay, well, we went through a lot of different things. So let's tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Let's, you know, talk a couple of more minutes, but let's talk about Mipiachem and Mipiatzmo. Again, the Sugyan Chavtes, the Sugyan Lamed Aleph, Shem Hashem, Kfira Bebezdin, and Shvua Bebezdin. Right, all these issues we're trying to get in tomorrow. Okay, and then Tuesday we have, remember everybody, 10:45 Shir and 12 o'clock. Watch.
He's sitting.